Amen. The sheet that I gave you, we always talk about witnessing and giving your testimony. I believe your testimony is one of the most powerful tools that you have outside of the Word of God. Your testimony is vitally important because if you got saved, the gospel is in your testimony. Why you got saved, why you felt you was lost, how you got saved, all of that. And many people are reluctant to give their testimony because they don't, well, how do I do it? What do I put in there? You know, how do I go about this? So I just put together a little thing to kind of help you to learn how to give your testimony. And just the other day when we had a youth activity, they come to me about 2 minutes before and said, Pastor's not going to be able to get back. He's been hung up. Can you do something? You ever try to get a devotion in about 2 minutes? And I said, sure. And I gave him my testimony. And after you've given your testimony several times, if it takes an hour, I can preach a whole hour just on my testimony. But I can also do it in 5 minutes, or I can do it in 15 minutes. It just depends on the things you put in or add in and everything. And I've been helping some of the folks in the church write out their testimony and go through it, and things that you need to put in, things that you need to take out. And we're willing to do that with anyone. And that'll help you as you're witnessing to people. Let them know what God's done and how he saved you and everything. So that sheet, that's free. And we'll talk about that little vial here in a little bit as we go along. But we're talking about Moses. We'll just continue from this last week. And as God has called Moses, he's brought him to the people or to Pharaoh and all of this. God tries to confirm to Moses what he's doing. And there's that confirmation that God is working here. He wanted to confirm his demands to Moses. So he goes back and he reestablishes or restates what he's saying. He confirms what he's told Moses to do. He said, I'm going to confirm this not only by the message that I'm giving, but also by the miracles that I'm going to perform. And as we pointed out before, Moses made a mistake there. He failed on one account that God had told him. He was not only to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, but he did not tell him that his firstborn was going to die if he didn't. And that's what God had commanded him. The message that Moses was supposed to give is in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22. And it says, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. But what was the message that Moses gave? And that's in chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. He didn't tell him about his child going to possibly die. And that should have always been in the mind of Pharaoh the whole time. Every plague that God was going to pour out, that should have been in the mind of Pharaoh that, look, this can lead to my son dying. But Moses left that part out. Now, some people say that Moses failed twice. The second time when he didn't throw down his rod, the first time when he confronted Pharaoh. And they say he failed there. I disagree with that, and this is why I disagree. In chapter 7 and verse number 9, it says, when. Okay, that's an important word. Exodus 7:9. when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say to Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. So when Pharaoh demands a miracle, that's when he's supposed to throw down the rod. He wasn't supposed to necessarily throw it down the first time when he comes into Pharaoh. That was the pronouncement of the judgment, but Pharaoh didn't ask him. As you read that conversation, Pharaoh didn't say, okay, show me a miracle. He didn't say that at all. But later on, Pharaoh in Exodus 7 and verse 8, the next meeting in verse number 9, we find Aaron casting down the rod. So obviously, then Pharaoh has asked him to show me a miracle or something, and that's when he had him cast down the rod. Now, so God confirms his greatness, the fact that he is the greater power, by not just casting down the rod, because if you remember, Pharaoh's magicians cast their rods down too, and they became serpents. But he showed that he had greater power because his serpent consumed or ate all the other magician serpents, which is a physical impossibility. Now, God repeats his assurance to Moses, okay? He repeats over and over. He goes back over these things with Moses. He wants Moses to be assured of his faithfulness to fulfill his promises. This is what one of the problems that we have in Christianity. We listen to what God promised Moses, and we say, well, that's good, and that's good for Moses. And we forget what God has promised to us. And so as we go through this, just think of this. God promised his faithfulness to fulfill his promises by the promise of performing a miracle. In Exodus 7, verse 9, he says, and it shall become a serpent. That is a promise that God was going to perform a miracle. Was he faithful? Yes. Then you have the promise of freedom. He promised freedom from bondage in verse number 4. He said, I'm going to bring forth mine enemies, or mine armies, and my people of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He promised to give them freedom from their bondage. They weren't to stay in Egypt. They were to go outside of Egypt. They were going to be free, totally free from Pharaoh and his hold. Then he applied the promise to organize them into a nation and an army. We see this in that same verse. He said, bring forth thine armies and my people, the children of Israel. God promised to make them an army. Now, they weren't an army. They were slaves. They had nothing. They didn't have any weapons. They didn't have any armament. They didn't have training or anything like that. But God says, I'm going to bring out my army. God's going to make them into an army. And you see that he does that as they fight many, many battles throughout this entire time. Then also God says his faithfulness and the promise that Egypt would know that God is the God. And you see that in verse number 5. He says that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Do you reckon by the time that all these plagues had gone through and you see Israel marching out Egypt has given them all their gold and silver and all the different jewels and everything, you reckon by now they know that God is the God? Pharaoh's not the God. All these other 2,000 gods that they've got are not the God. Obviously, they recognize that God, Jehovah God, was and is that Lord, that God. But now, all of this would happen. God says, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do all of this. But if Moses obeyed him, if Moses doesn't obey him, God's not obligated to do these things. He says, Moses, you obey me, you do what I say, and this is what I'm going to do. This is what I promised to do. So if Moses would obey God, God was going to do what he said. Now, God gives us exactly the same assurances that he gave to Pharaoh, or to Moses, rather. He assures us of his faithfulness in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It's going to be God that's doing it. Moses didn't do all these things. He was just a messenger. God is the one that was faithful in doing what he promised to do. And in our lives, faithful as he had called you, who also will do it. God is the one that does these things in our life. This is the problem. We come up and we say, well, I can't go soul winning because I don't know everything. Well, I don't know anybody that does know everything. Well, you know, I can't speak. Well, who made your mouth? Same one that made Moses' mouth. Well, I just can't talk to people. Well, it's not you. We're not the one that is in the focus. God said, I will do it. He's the one that calls you. He's the one that's going to do these things. So get your focus off of yourself and give it or put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's faithful and will do it. God also assures us that he can and will work in marvelous ways in our lives and to accomplish what he wants in us and through us. All of us are incapable. None of us. You say, well, you know, you're a preacher. You can say that. You don't know me before I got saved. I mean, you talk about bashful and shy and couldn't. I couldn't even give a prayer request when I first got saved. God can change you. You say, well, this is just the way I am. Well, God will change just the way you are. The thing is, you're trying to do it instead of letting God do it. And God says, I'm going to be the one that does it. Now, listen to this. Ephesians 3:20. Now, unto him that is what? Able to do. Exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. It's not our power. It's God's power that works in us. That's who does the work. It's God. The same power. It wasn't Moses' power. He didn't have any power. He couldn't speak well. He was just a bozo like the rest of us. But when God got a hold of him, it was God's power, and God caused him to lead those people of Israel, 3.5 million people, out of Egypt. He says, according to the power that worketh in us. Is God's power working in you? But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Listen, when the Spirit of God come into your heart and your life at the point of salvation, he gave you that power, and that power that's working in you just like the power was working in Moses. It's no different. The same promises. God assures us that what he has promised, he will do. Romans 4:21. And being fully persuaded, this is the problem. We're not convinced. We really don't believe God can or will do what he promised he'd do. He says, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Do we know his promises? Do we know our God enough to believe what he says? He says, I'm fully persuaded, Paul says. We should be fully persuaded if God says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that he gave us the power that he promised to give us with the Holy Spirit at salvation. So I will. I'm just going to trust him. I'm going to do what he said. God also assures us that when God tells us to witness, we can. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, that's the command, but how do I know? Remember, Moses says, how do I know if you're going to be with me? And God says, when you finish the job, when you bring Israel out and you come back to this mountain, you'll know it was me and not you. But God says, he gives us in the New Testament even a greater, I believe, a greater promise. We don't have to wait until the end. He gave us the promise. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. I'm with you. If I did not know that, if I did not believe that, I would never have set foot on that airplane and go to Uganda. It's not a place you go to have a picnic. You know? People say, well, I don't want to go to Africa. They got snakes. They got them, and they're big. I got one that I skinned out. My daughter and I, we skinned it out. He tried to come to church. His name's George. We named him, and he's in my office. Just his skin. The rest of him we did away with. 7 foot. We don't have serpents trying to come to our church here. We got walls. Look, these places aren't necessarily a fun place to just go and vacation. But with God with you, if you really believe that God is with you, you can do anything. You can go anywhere. It doesn't make any difference how old you are. I mean, we're getting up there, I guess. But we can still be witnesses. We can still go with the gospel. And you say, well, I'm getting old. Well, he can help that. He can work that. Dr. Zisk, how old are you? 92. Still holds Bible study there. Still witnesses. Every time I've ever seen Dr. Zisk, whenever we've gone out to lunch or anywhere, he'll always, I don't care if it's McDonald's. I remember that time when we was at In-N-Out and we was all sitting around. Dr. Sis got up and walked over to another guy's table and started handing these folks tracts and witnessing to them. Listen, it's not that we can't. It's not that we don't have the power. It's that we don't. Whether we don't care or whether we just don't believe God, I don't know. But God says, I promised you. And I've given you the same promises that I've gave and the same assurance that I have given to Moses. He's given those same ones to us. Every one of us have those promises. I am with you always, even to McDonald's, even to your relative's house, even to the end of the world. Don't make any difference. And God repeats his assurance to us over and over. He demonstrates his power to us in Hebrews 13:20. And now the God of peace that what? Brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. I think that kind of shows us his power. Amen? If he can raise Jesus Christ up from the dead, he can spare us, save us, do whatever. He tells us his purpose. What's his purpose in all this? He said in verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. God says, I give you the power so that you can do what I want you to do. I don't care if it's teach Sunday school. I don't care if it's to preach. I don't care if it's to go to the nursing home, be a witness, witness outside, whatever. God says, I'll make you mature. I'll mature you. I'll make you perfect so that you can do every good work that is in my will. How do he show us his power and his faithfulness? By showing us the method. He says, I'm working in you. Working in you. It's not you. It's God working in you. And by showing us the results, he shows us exactly, he said, that which is pleasing in his sight. If we're doing what God wants, if we're doing God's will, and we always hear, I've heard many of you say, well, if you're in the perfect will of God or you're in the center of the will of God, that's the best place to be no matter where you're at. And that's true. If we're doing that, if we are witnessing, if we are following through with God's commands and trusting him, then it will be well-pleasing in his sight. We're pleasing God. The results, that's up to him. Whether somebody gets saved or not, that's up to him. Whether they read that track or not, that's up to them. But he says what we're doing, our job, is well-pleasing in his sight. Then by telling us how do we do it? He even tells us how to go about it. He says, through Jesus Christ, relying on him. Not relying on your strength, abilities, education, personality. It's relying on Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just like God was working through Moses, that the Egyptians might know that I am God, in that Exodus 7:5, he says the same thing also in John chapter 17, verse 23. God writes to us, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect as one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Listen, if Moses didn't go, God wasn't obligated to take care of it. But if Christians don't go, God's not obligated to fulfill those things. He promises he will if we do our part. Why are Christians so miserable, many of them? Because they're not doing God's will. They're not following through. There must be a commitment. Moses was given the command to go. He was given his instructions about the message to deliver. He was told what to say and what to do. He was cautioned that there was going to be problems and difficulties. He was given assurances that through the promises of God, God would fulfill all these things. So now it's up to Moses. He had to commit to God. Commit himself to God. Put his life in God's hands and said, God, okay, I'm in your hands. Whatever you do, I'm good. That's what God wants us to do. Don't make any difference if it's the young people, the teenagers, the middle-aged adults, or the old fogies. God says, even at this stage, at this age, we must commit ourselves to him. We must place ourselves in his hands and trust him. Trust him for the outcome. We must commit ourselves and obey God. Now, at some point, Moses has to obey to do what God told him to do, that bold obedience. He has to go to the most powerful man in the world. He has to deliver God's message. He has to throw down God's rod that he told him to throw down And all the time he has to believe that somehow, he has no idea how, but somehow that he's going to have his head on when he goes out of Egypt. That's what we need to do. To commit ourselves to God so much that even though we're confronting people that we do not know or confronting a situation that we're unsure of, and that God is the one that promised he's going to fulfill his promises, and that we just simply have to commit to him. Now, that takes faith, doesn't it? What faith Moses had to have. What faith Moses had to have. Just believing God, really. How much faith did Moses have to have? I've carried this thing. It was given to me in a conference some time back. And it's a little bottle. Mine's a lot smaller than the one I just gave you. Everybody got one? Anybody not get one? Okay, I want you to take it out and look at it. I'll get you one, honey. She's always checking in, folks. That's why she comes in late. I want you to look in that thing. What do you see? That little bitty thing in there is called a mustard seed. A mustard seed. Now, how much faith do you have to have? Look at it. Look in your little vial. That's all you have to have. Go witness to Aunt Susie, Uncle John, the guy at Walmart that you can't find usually, but whoever it is, how much faith do you have to have? Oh, these ushers are good. That's all. Look at it. That's all the faith you have to have. And I keep this, I carry it with me when I work, I carry it with me wherever I go. I keep it in my pocket 24/7 to remind me every time I put my hand in my pocket, I need to have faith. And that's all the faith that I need to have. Mustard seed faith. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 31, it's like a grain of mustard seed. Is not the grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth, is less than all seeds that be in the earth. I mean, it's nothing really. Just a little bitty old mustard seed. Matthew 17:20 said, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith, look at it, look at it, look at it. Not mine, yours. That's yours. If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Look at it. Look at yours. How much faith you need? That's it. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Luke 17:6 says, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, not a mountain, but a tree. Look at it. That's all I need. It's all the faith I need. If I'll just trust God that much. That's not much, is it? If I have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, how much faith do you have? That shows us how faithless we are. Exodus 7:10 says, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. God has sent us his command, his message, his promises, his indwelling Holy Spirit, his word, his grace, his power, and all he asks that we have that much faith. I think we can do that much. Amen? So who's your Pharaoh? Who's that God asking you to go to? Who'll be your Pharaoh this week? Makes no difference how they respond. Doesn't make any difference whether they believe it or not. That's not our responsibility. But it's our job to take the gospel to them. Well, I can't. What? What did he say to the disciples? Oh, faithless generation. Faithless. There are going to be problems. Immediately, Satan opposed God's men in verse number 11 in Exodus 7. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers, and now the magician of Egypt. And they also did the like manner in their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. There will be opposition. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you're trusting in miracles and that type of thing, you're looking in the wrong place. Pharaoh's men made their sticks turn to serpents too. The Antichrist is going to perform miracles, make fire come down from heaven, and they're all lost. Don't look at the miracles. Look at your God. And he said, just that much faith. Just that much. Satan uses many things today to keep people from hearing the gospel and from us to take it out. TV, sports, friends, family, all kinds of things. God says that's all we need. His faith is just as a grain of mustard seed. Snake can eat another snake. King snakes do it out in the desert. They eat other snakes, but there are several serpents swallowed because there were wise men, that's plural. There had to be at least two wise men, and sorcerers, that's plural, so there had to be at least two sorcerers. So there was a minimum of four and probably more. It says, for they cast down every man his rod and they became serpents. Can you imagine that scene? Moses throws one down, and here it's a serpent, and these guys throw theirs down, and here's a whole bunch of them. And one by one, Moses' serpent just starts eating those other snakes. It's a physical impossibility. You could eat one, but he ain't eating four or five. It's just impossible. God blesses Moses' obedience. Moses and their message did the job. God's message will do his job here. The fact is, whether we will be obedient as Moses, we know God is faithful and God will do what he says. Will you make that commitment to obey God? Take the gospel, be your neighbor, be your friend, be your family, co-workers, whoever, and trust the faithfulness of God to do what he says. All you need is that little grain of mustard seed. Put that thing in your purse. Put it in your pocket, guys. Keep it with you every day. And remind yourself that that's all I need. Just that one grain of faith. And God will do mighty things through me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love, your power, your blessings, your promises. God, I pray that you'll just be with Pastor as he brings the message this morning. Lord, that you might have your way throughout this day, and that we might honor and exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Get around and shake hands with somebody that you like.